Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Big News Wednesdays with me, John Arola, and J.R. Jackson. J.R., present yourself.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys? I have one very important big news announcement. To start this particular big news Wednesday, I have figured out my good friend, the wacky waving inflatable arm tube man. He is working in full capacity with me. We are ready for a good Wednesday. That last time was a bit of a fail. I just want to let you guys know. Right. Everyone was worried about my man, Malcolm, right here. I guess I'll name him Malcolm.
Good moves.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's good to go.
Yeah. I think we need a wacky inflatable flailing arm emoji, actually.
He's big, my mascot, bro.
Big inflatable Wednesdays. Anyway, you're ridiculous. Well, look, glad to have you. On the good news front, no. Sorry, I tried.
Searching, buffer.
Yeah, no, I'll throw a bit of quick good news. So not only, you know, a couple days ago, I gave you the update on the story of the guy who had brought his gun out at some teenage protesters, tried to say it was standing ground, and then the judge apparently denied the standing ground defense. That's good news. Other good news, that story that was going around last week of the free meals being canceled at a school because it makes kids feel entitled to nutrition or whatever. They have backtracked, apparently, as a result of the consequences. So good news. There's your balance. 30 seconds of good news, 90 minutes of well, we got that coming for you. But anyway, either way, JR, glad to have you here.
No, I enjoy that because I wanted to do that story about that school district in Waukesha. I'm glad they figured it out. But I mean, that's what pressure does. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. In the bad news front, we've got a few different types. We're going to be spending a little bit of time in Texas, something I don't recommend for anyone. But also, we've got this story coming up a little bit later on about a principal being suspended. The reason this principal was suspended is madness. And so we're going to be talking about that. And we've got weathermen being disrupted. We've got, hey, Lauren Windsor is going to show up on this episode. We got a whole bunch of fact checking to do when it comes to Afghanistan, because basically everything's lies and it's bad for you. So buckle up, hold on to your butts. We got a lot of news coming for you. But as we go through that, if you want to send us comments, tweets, super chat, stuff like that, we'll respond. We always appreciate hearing your thoughts, answering your questions, stuff like that. And if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great. You know what? I'm going to get this party started by sharing the Damage Reports tweet about the stream as well in just a second. But with that said, and that shared, JR, are you ready to talk about some news?
Let the party commence.
Yeah. Unfortunately, very much not a party. It's about as much of a party as every party I've ever thrown. I mean, people are here, but is it a party really? Is that the vibe? Anyway, with that, okay, team, let's do this. As of today, thanks to a combination of horrible governance in Texas and the Supreme Court's lack of action leading up to midnight of last night, Roe v. Wade effectively is done in America. That may change. There is still time. And certainly there are ways that not only the Supreme Court, but also the Democrats, who I will remind you are in charge of this country, could do something about this. But as of right now, effectively reproductive rights don't exist if you happen to live in one of the many red states who are going to pass new 6-week abortion bans, because the Supreme Court declined to stop Texas's 6-week abortion ban from going into effect. 6 weeks, you know, I will just point out for those who don't already know, this is not enough time to know. Maybe you know that you're pregnant at that point, but many will not, let alone all of the resources required, particularly in states like Texas, where it was already incredibly difficult to exercise your reproductive rights. Reproductive rights, by the way, that many of the people watching this have had their entire lives from before they were born. This is the progress that we're getting in America, is that being knocked out. Well, let's talk briefly about this bill. SB 8 not only stops abortion at 6 weeks, it also stipulates that any US citizen can sue a Texas abortion provider or sue a person suspected of aiding or abetting abortion services. The plaintiffs don't even have to be residents of Texas to sue Texans suspected of helping people make these private reproductive choices. And should the lawsuit prevail, the person who brought the suit will receive $10,000 plus attorney fees. So when people talk about this being a bounty, it's very specifically a bounty. It's not, you know, any damages that were done to you, you'll get paid, or just your legal fees. It's literally, here's a cash prize if you sue an abortion provider or an Uber driver who took a woman to an abortion provider, or I guess someone that she confided in that told her, yes, you probably should get an abortion. You can get $10,000 because this is America in 2021. So look, we're gonna get into a lot of this, JR. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, not even like with the incentivizing this being that way, it's more like it promotes it. This is like a different scale on this. So maybe, you know, we had the whole Good Samaritan thought, right? If you see a crime happening, you jump in or you call the cops, you make sure things get ended. They're trying to transition this to be like, this is one of those, it's a crime in every aspect of it. And not only are you a Good Samaritan if you report the crime, but you should be incentivized to go and start snooping and finding people, because what motivation do people have to get extra 10K in their pockets, especially in times like this when people are short on money and we have a lot of issues that stem from the pandemic, the economy's going down, the richest people in the country hoard most of the money. So there's we set up this situation where there's this need for things like this to be implemented from people's mindset of their religious point of view. Then other people don't care about that part, just be like, well, I just need some money, I'll take part in it. Like we have, it's this upside down way of approaching things. Let's incentivize people for being snitches on someone else on something that should be illegal. By the way, it is still legal in the country based off of the Supreme Court decision. But now in states, we can start implementing rules to undercut that and make people enforce it in this weird way.
Yeah, well, it's still technically legal, kind of, for a very limited period of time, because, you know, assuming you even know that you're pregnant, assuming you can even get an appointment to find out for sure. And making it about cash, that's really just the chef's kiss on this whole thing. This is really about your values, isn't it? That you're paying people $10,000 for it. And by the way, there's a lot of context that needs to be added, and will. This is not the only time we're gonna be talking about this, but let's also bear in mind that Texas deciding that women who've been born and lived their entire lives in a country where in theory they have these rights will now no longer be able to exercise control over their own bodies, in a state that is at the head of a year-long conversation about how the government shouldn't be telling me I can't infect people with a virus. That's medical, it's private. So your medical rights are so significant in terms of masking and vaccination that will allow you to kill other people. If you wanna get other people sick recklessly, if you wanna potentially kill them, who are we to say that that's wrong? Oh wait, it's a fetus? No, we can definitely say you are going to have that child and someone else is gonna give it COVID. That's what's going to happen in Texas. Anyway, look, there's a lot that we gotta get to. I wanna get into some of the immediate reactions to this. Let's jump to this video.
This actually lets private citizens who have zero connection to the person getting an abortion take legal action? How does this even work? Why?
That's right. It means someone with no connection at all could be able to get $10,000, just as we just pointed out. It even means you could sue an Uber driver who drives someone to an abortion clinic. These are laws stricter than what we have in place for someone who would drive someone who's about to commit an act of terrorism to the place where they actually commit this act. So it's a very strict law. Right now, the Supreme Court could act on a piece of this if they take up what would be an emergency application from several of those Texas abortion providers, but they did not act overnight. So why? It does go into effect.
Yeah, so they could decide to do something, you know, they chose not to. Let's just bear that in mind, JR. It's not like they woke up this morning like, I knew there was something we were supposed to rule on. And maybe they will. But there are seven conservatives effectively on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's possible that they're trying to go ahead. Yeah, it's possible they could be going and trying to test the waters and see what the reaction could be. I don't think that's something the Supreme Court generally does. They seem pretty disconnected from the rest of society and opinions and thoughts and everything that come across the board when it comes to stories about political events and agendas and decisions and executive orders and legislation. It seems like they're separate from that most times. But I wonder if in this case, it's a testing of the waters to wait and see if this is really something that they want to do, or if they want to take it up and then become part of the story. Because eventually you're going to have to. Is what Donald Trump was talking about the whole time, and trying to implement as many conservative justices as possible so we can go ahead and start changing things. They were setting this up when Trump was like in his second year of office. Let's keep it real. States like this were like, oh, we can't wait. We can't wait. We have legislation we're going to tee up to make sure it's extraordinarily limiting, to make sure we have a pushback on this and see what happens. Now we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're here. You know, people knew this was coming, obviously, when Trump gets three Supreme Court nominees in 4 years. Like how many times, like we've had guests on that were terrified of this in the run up. And now it's here. Like you get 50 years of reproductive rights. And you know, like, and again, I'll just point out, how stupid are we to believe that, well, you know, there's struggle, but things are getting better. Yeah, for some people. But in other ways, we're more backwards than we were a half a century ago. And by the way, JR, I don't know if you, and I'll say this to the audience too, I don't know if you've been spending much time on Twitter this morning. First of all, don't. But if you do, you might have seen that there's a lot of finger pointing going on, a lot of trying to assess blame. So there's a bunch of people that are like, if you in 2016 didn't prioritize, you know, getting someone who's going to appoint liberals to the Supreme Court, it's your fault. Then those people point back and say, hey, Biden could do something. He could expand the court. He could whatever. And they're yelling back and forth about who is to blame. Here's the thing. When it comes to American government, this isn't Highlander. We're not trying to find the one person who's responsible. Lots of people are responsible. Lots of people are to blame. Biden totally could do stuff right now. The Democrats could do stuff. First of all, they could give a damn about state government. They could try to make it so that Texas, which does not necessarily have to have a Republican government, might flip at some point. And then we wouldn't get things like the election bill and like this. They could do that in many different states. Biden could expand the court. They could get rid of the filibuster. So this is on Biden. This is on Manchin. This is on Sinema. This is on a lot of people. And it's also on the people who haven't given a damn about the Supreme Court for like a decade now. 100%. When you tell people it doesn't matter, some people are going to believe that. And here's the thing. You saying it doesn't matter doesn't make it not matter to the people whose rights are going to be stripped away. And so if you're mad, good. You should be mad. And you should probably be mad at a lot more people than you are right now, because you have been failed by so many people in politics, in punditry, in the media, all of them. You should be pissed off. I really hope that today people are.
Well, we'll see. But then that's the thing. It's a hard thing for them to find the culprit. That's the real problem. Because also part of the 2016 people were talking about when Trump came in office and how many Democrats, progressives were disillusioned by the system after what happened with Bernie Sanders and in the primaries and Hillary Clinton and all these. There's so many factors, as you said. So people do get turned off from politics sometimes, because then, as we're seeing right now, let's go back to present. Okay, fine. Forget 2016. It's 2021 and Joe Biden had all these promises that he made with progressives and things that he says he's going to push forward that would have more equal measures throughout the country for things like this. As you don't do these things, we're talking like, you know, student loan debt, things like that. As you don't do these things, those are completely separate. Am I right? Those are different issues. But it turns off people from even trusting or thinking you're ever going to do anything for them, because you say it over and over and over again and do nothing and then go, whatever. I guess Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin are the leaders of the party now. And you let that be your face. People that are turned off by you and don't believe anything you're ever going to say, and we get to these types of decisions.
Yeah, look, the fact that the Supreme Court is allowing the 6-week abortion ban is not just floating in the ether crazy. It is obviously directly contravening past Supreme Court precedent. They have not allowed things less draconic than this to stand. But now, we got the conservatives, so screw it. We don't care what the Supreme Court has said before. We're going to do whatever we want. They're going to do whatever they want. They're going to do it in the issues we're going to talk about soon about voting. You think you can vote? We'll see. We'll see if you can vote. We're going to do whatever we can do. That's what we're going to do. And then what are the Democrats doing? Biden he's got a study to look into if he can cancel a little bit of student loan debt. Manchin and Sinema are like, well, there's this tradition of the filibuster, and I really think that we should abide by the tradition. So on the, and by the way, I get it. It's not that one side believes in power and the other doesn't. They're lying. Like they're not. It would be bad enough if they were being honest. It would be so pathetic if they were being honest. but they're not being honest. They're pathetic and liars at the same time. And so that's what we're caught between. Between these people that will literally do, there's no limit to how crazy they are, how far they will go. And then the Democrats, at the best we get is this mealy mouth lies. And so look, if you're in Texas, first of all, if you're commenting on this, please show empathy for the people who will actually be affected by this, who are the people of Texas, people who might be pregnant in Texas. And look, I joked about not going to Texas, but if your commentary is seriously leave Texas, move out, I want you to put yourself in the position of people who can't just up and move their entire lives. Okay, these are difficult times. Most people don't have the money to just leave if they want to. But on that note about the money, if you can give, the Texas Equal Access Fund is raising money, matching donations up to $10,000. You can go to tfund.org/ntxgivingday, tfund.org/ntxgivingday, the Texas Equal Access Fund, to make sure that the people who desperately need the resources to exercise their reproductive rights in Texas will be able to do so. So that is something you can do today if you're as angry as I am. Any final thoughts on this before we move on, Jared?
I just want a whisper of a dream. Think about the extreme measures and things that Republicans do, specifically in this case, Abbott and the legislator there, for their constituents that come up with whatever it is they want to believe. This minority of people, by the way, that want abortion to be completely outlawed in the country. Imagine some of the things that people on the other side of the aisle may want their politicians to do, as I mentioned before, from healthcare to student loan debt, to climate change. Any of these things that people actually want, if these things actually happened at the pace and definitive nature that a lot of Republicans serve their minority of crazy voters, imagine how much support you'd have. Mm-hmm. But it's too bold, it's too radical. Is this too bold? Is this too radical? Because it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. And look, it strikes me that I don't know if we've explicitly said this. I imagine everyone watching this understands the implications here of not just Texas passing the bill, but the Supreme Court allowing it to stand. So we're focusing on Texas because Texas just did it. I focus on it in part because I lived there for more than 5 years. How many Republican state legislatures are furiously typing out their 6-week abortion bans and their bounty system right now?
100%.
So how many states are gonna have this in 1 week? How many states are gonna have this in a month? How many millions of people right now live in states where they might technically have reproductive rights? Although there's many states where you effectively don't. If you live in Louisiana, good luck exercising your rights there right now, let alone after this. And so soon they will wake up in a state where their rights are a thing that, you know, maybe you'll learn about in an outdated textbook or something like that.
And by the way, don't get it twisted, anyone. The politicians that were part of this, when their mistresses have an issue or they need to have a procedure done, they will not be getting reported for $10,000 a pop. They will be getting their procedures done. Trust.
Exactly.
It's always been that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And as many people rightly say, abortion bans do not ban abortion. They ban safe abortions. That's what they ban. They certainly don't ban rich abortion. And the abortions will still happen. They just won't be safe. And more loss of life might happen. I want to also briefly let you know about the fact that, look, obviously we're focusing on this particular bill for a very good reason, but a lot of bills are going into effect right now. And so let's cover a bit of that right now. Let's see, we've got legislation forbidding balloting methods that the county introduced last year to make voting easier during the pandemic. Including drive-through polling places and 24-hour voting, as well as temporary voting locations. The Republicans looked into it and it turned out that all of those had the horrible side effect of allowing people to vote. So that's gone. Bars election officials from sending voters unsolicited absentee ballot applications and from promoting the use of vote by mail. They literally can't encourage people to vote by mail now. Poll watchers are empowered. So get ready for more Proud Boys berating you as you try to vote in Houston. New criminal and civil penalties for poll workers, new barriers for those who need assistance to vote, such as with translations. That's not a racist thing though at all.
Yeah, you know.
Counties, just the large ones, have to provide live streaming video at ballot counting locations. Why? I mean, nothing was found to have been done. Like a year spent now trying to show that something untoward was done in these places has come up with nothing. But we should also make them pay the money to do the live streaming too. Let's see, they've banned critical race theory, which nobody was learning about in Texas anyway. Let's see, felonies for protesters blocking roads. So yeah, if reproductive rights are not the only rights that are being infringed on here, the First Amendment, that was fun. If the First Amendment was so important, they would have put it first, okay? We're all about the Second Amendment in Texas. A ban on homeless encampments. Hey, they expanded medical cannabis access. So more call for it this week.
Anyway, by the way, final thoughts. Again, this is making illegal promotion of voting in America. Just think about it. It's making it nearly illegal to promote voting in America. Remember those voting campaigns in the 90s? Rock the vote, bring all the celebrities, rock the vote. Let's have a concert, rock the vote, right?
Yep.
No, not anymore. We don't want people to vote. Don't vote. And I'm sorry. We don't want people in large cities and states to vote because we know who lives there. And also translation services. So you can't know what's on a ballot because that's American-like. We're this melting pot. We're the shining example on a hill. Bring me all of your best people from other countries and we're going to build this country that's made up of so many other types of people and cultures, which makes us great. Yeah. Unless you want to vote.
Now, JR, you are pointing out hypocrisy, and I got to do a fact check for you. They never believed that. So, some did, but yeah. Anyway, look, we have a lot of other things to talk about. I'm going to keep it real right now. I feel like don't so much care about anything else going on right now, but there's a lot of other stuff going on. So I'm going to keep it real with you. Like, we saw this coming. And this is not the culmination. It's gonna get worse. The Supreme Court is showing you who they are. But I'm glad that Breyer's thinking about maybe I'll retire. Maybe I'll wait for Tucker Carlson and Ron DeSantis to be president. We'll be back after this. Anyway, with that, JR, why don't we get into some fact checks?
Well, I mean, we're fire breathing dragon today. I guess, you know, you should make it happen, John. We're going to change your name, bro. Yeah,
I guess we are. Okay, let's do this. There's been a lot of nonsense being spread as the US has pulled out of Afghanistan. I want to do a bit of fact checking about some of this. So the most important one, perhaps, has to do with a video that's been going around of what appears to be a person being hung from a Black Hawk helicopter in Afghanistan. It spread everywhere on the right. You can see senators like Ted Cruz retweeting the video saying this horrifying image encapsulates Joe Biden's Afghanistan catastrophe. The Taliban hanging a man from an American Black Hawk helicopter. Tragic, unimaginable. Dan Crenshaw says, in what effing world was it a good idea to just hand over a country to these people? Bear in mind, he wants us to still be in there. So just bear that in mind. So here's the thing. Ted Cruz says it's unimaginable. And yeah, it kind of is, because that's not what the video actually shows. Bilal Sawari, who's an independent journalist in the region, says an Afghan pilot flying that helicopter is someone who I've known over the years. He was trained in the US and UAE. He confirmed to me that he flew the helicopter. Taliban fighter seen here was trying to install a Taliban flag from the air, but it didn't work in the end. And you know, we're glad that there was that confirmation of it. You could have also watched the other videos that were flowing around, which show the man who's hanging from his waist, waving at some point. But that's not fun. No, this has to encapsulate something. And so it might not encapsulate, as Ted Cruz said, the entire Joe Biden Afghanistan catastrophe. It does encapsulate the right's attachment to fact. It's loose. It's pretty loose.
This is it's a perfect storm for folks like this. Like, it's even better that it's not real, because then they can continue to fool people that it is real. And then we actually have a man hanging from a helicopter that was an interpreter for us, because that'd be a disaster for that man, right? And so we get to have a nice clean BS lie here to tell people, oh yeah, there was a guy hanging from the helicopter. After we found out that it wasn't the case, let's keep pushing that, because who cares? Nothing we say is real anyway. They've lost the level of consciousness decades ago. There's no way they're coming back from this now. Yeah. You think you're gonna come back and say, oh, we've updated our information, or we've been updated on our information, our lies, and we've discovered that we were wrong. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I mean, nobody does that. But we're gonna have so that what you just laid out, JR, is what a serious person, a mature person would do. So we have less than that. But here is Ted Cruz, who eventually had to respond to the fact that he had spread this video. He tweeted, it turns out the post I shared with a video of Taliban hanging a man from a helicopter may be inaccurate. So I deleted the tweet. No, not may. It's not true. That already sucks. Then he says, what remains accurate is the Taliban are brutal terrorists. We left them millions in US military equipment, including Black Hawk helicopters. So it may be inaccurate, but I was still basically right. And so my follow up question, oh, Ted Cruz, were you pressuring the administration over the past 6 months to make sure that we get all that equipment out? Was this a thing that you thought about for literally 10 seconds this year? Not just conveniently after the fact you're thinking about it. But JR, that Ted Cruz non-apology is not the worst thing you could do. How about this? You can share that video after all the fact checks, which is what Sean Hannity did on his program, which is watched by hundreds of thousands of people. He just went with it anyway. I guess he woke up yesterday wanting to cover it. Turned out it wasn't true, and he's not gonna let that stop him. By the way, Dan Crenshaw might have taken down the tweet. As of this morning, he had not. You know, also Don Jr., his header image is still an image of the helicopter as of right now. Still, it's been fact checked. And the thing is, how many of the elderly people who watch Fox News are ever gonna hear the fact check, JR?
Never.
They're gonna think that that was true for the rest of their lives. For the next 6 months, they're gonna think it is true.
Yeah, and then the narrative, at least in their circles, will be, hey, did you hear about how they lied and said that that wasn't really an interpreter hanging from the helicopter? Because that's not true. Everyone I've talked to said that it is true. That's why Sean Hannity continued to push it.
Yeah, like, okay, so that was nonsense, but that was hardly the only Afghanistan related nonsense that Fox was spreading. Bearing in mind, of course, that Fox technically says they approve of the withdrawal, but they still have to get something out of it. So for instance, when Biden was meeting with the families of some of the soldiers who died, the service members who died in Afghanistan, it was spread that he looked at his watch. So within about 15 minutes of the actual ceremony, the host on Newsmax, Benny Johnson, who's total garbage, tweeted the clip out and said it appears that Biden is checking his watch. It instantly spread to the Boston Herald, the Daily Wire, the Daily Mail, the New York Post. Do you wanna know how damning the actual video is of him checking his watch? Well, it's so damning that when Fox News played it, they had to make it look bad by slowing it down. They put his motion in slow motion at roughly half the speed to double the time that he apparently was looking at his watch. If it was bad, they would have just used it. It wasn't bad enough, but they still used it.
What does that mean? What does it mean? He checked his watch. Now say the next sentence. Not you, but like, what's the next thought? Which means, so that says he's, just say it. Instead, like they like to leave it hanging so that people who are already upset can then go, he doesn't care. Oh my God, he's trying to get out of there. Do you know what else he was doing? Do you know what he was looking for on his watch? I have a watch. I have an Android watch. You know what it tells me? It tells me sometimes to get up and walk. Sometimes it tells me that my battery's low. Sometimes it tells me there's an alarm. Sometimes there's another alarm that says, hey, you might want to take your medicine. All that stuff happens on a watch. I don't care why he was looking at his watch. What was he saying? What was he doing? What has he done since? We find ourselves, and they know, not we find ourselves here. They purposely look to splinter off of very tangential nonsense things. Yes, you know what happened? People were mad when President Trump was in a meeting and he was looking at his phone. Do you know why? Because they correlated that with him tweeting nonsense about something completely unrelated while he's in a meeting about something that's important. That's why it mattered there. There was a specific thing that happened that showed he was completely disconnected from the meeting he was in, as he says he works so hard and he's doing everything to change the country. It showed that he's disconnected and doesn't know what's happening. If you show me that Joe Biden is disconnected and doesn't know what's happening with something, fine, I'll accept that. Joe Biden is not my uncle. I don't care. Yeah. But just say he looks at his watch as a thing. What's next? Why do we care?
Somebody in the chat is saying that his son's bracelet is kept on that wrist. I don't know that for sure. You can't tell from the video, but I also know that they don't care. We could look, I don't love Joe Biden. Many people in the audience don't love Joe Biden. If we wanted to list 100 faults of his, we could. But lack of empathy for people who've lost their kids isn't one of them. Yep. It's just nonsense. So they have to attack him on that. Is it? Yeah, what Trump was always good at was comforting people who lost people under his rule. Anyway, let's see how nonsensical can the nonsense get? Well, they spread the idea that we'd left a ton of military service dogs behind. It's not true. Department of Defense says they weren't left behind. That's not what the photos showed, but they're still running with that. By the way, Don Jr.'s pinned tweet when we went live was about the service dogs. So on the front of his Twitter was two lies that had already been disproved. But yeah, he really cares about what's going on in Afghanistan. Anyway, look, I want to get to the most, I guess, substantive lie that's being spread. And honestly, it's one that I bought, at least as of yesterday. I'd heard this number thrown around, so I thought it was true. The idea of the dollar value of the weapons and vehicles that were left behind, you've probably heard this thrown around, this $83 billion. I thought that was actually true. It's not. Technically, $82.9 billion is the estimate for all spending on the Afghanistan security forces since 2001. So everything that has been spent, literally housing people, food, all of that is that. Now, back in 2017, Government Accountability Office report estimated that about 29% of the funds that were spent between 2005 and 2016 went to actual equipment and transportation. So assuming that that is true across the entire 20 years, that would be about $24 billion. And bear in mind, it's still a lot of vehicles. Between 2005 and 2016, US taxpayers paid for about 76,000 vehicles. That's 43,000 Ford Ranger pickup trucks, 22,000 Humvees, 900 MRAPs, 600,000 weapons, and more than 200 aircraft. But let's also bear in mind that there's two issues with that. So one, you might say, okay, so it's 24 billion rather than 83. Well, first of all, I think that actually knowing what you're talking about matters. That's why I'm correcting myself. But also, even that's not technically true because many of those vehicles were bought almost 20 years ago. They're not still in service. They don't have the maintenance to keep them going, even if they were now. And many, by the way, were actually destroyed in the run up to us leaving. So General Kenneth McKenzie announced that the military demilitarized 70 MRAPs, 27 Humvees, 73 aircraft, saying those aircraft will never fly again. They'll never be able to be operated by anyone. So
that doesn't matter, John.
Nonsense.
That's such a weird fact that the military people have a process in place that if they leave equipment, that it's useless. Oh my God, I guess you're gonna make up something else now. Now, instead of listening to people who maybe do this, because I didn't know that. I don't know that they decommission or just break down things and make sure that they're unusable. If they leave them, fine. But you know what question isn't gonna get asked after we hear about $83 billion over the 20 years in Afghanistan? Why? That's the only question that doesn't get asked. You will throw that number around and talk about how much we left there and abandoned there, but you won't then go, so why are we prepared to approve yet another a military bill that will provide trillions of dollars more for the next several wars? Yeah. Are we ready to ask those questions next? Because we're asking questions about how much we just wasted. Let's finish the conversation. Are we going to waste it again?
Yeah.
Are we going to vote to waste it again?
Yes. Yeah, they're already proposing raising the military budget.
Absolutely.
So we subtract a war, we raise the budget. Makes sense to me.
And we complain about the money we spent only because of the way we came out. That's the only time we worry about that.
Exactly. Yeah, and about like if anything fell into the hands of the Taliban, I hate it. But there's a few inconvenient facts about that narrative that they do not acknowledge. One, the weapons were not handed over to the Taliban. They were handed to a military and a government that was supposed to be able to stand. It didn't, but I got news for you. Without any of that stuff, there was no chance that it was going to. There was at least a chance. Yeah, second of all, they did do some. Trump keeps saying he wants them to have bombed all the bases or whatever, which by the way, we're occupied by that military. So they did decommission a bunch of the stuff. Is he giving credit to them? No. And third of all, so what exactly happened? Trump started the withdrawal. He released all those Taliban fighters and everything. He set an earlier timeline. He wanted us to be out by spring rather than fall. So did he have a detailed plan to take back all of this equipment and destroy what we can't? Was that plan not followed by Joe Biden? Or is this something that he never even thought about and is just now saying it conveniently so that he can criticize a thing that technically he supports? Which do you think it is? If you're watching this video right now. Anyway, we're gonna take our second break, JR. When we come back, we're gonna be mixing things up, talking about January 6th. We're gonna get things together. Join us after this.
No, we won't.
Okay, with that, let's move into this video.
These telecommunications companies, if they go along with this, they will be shut down, and that's a promise.
Good. I hope they're afraid of you. They should be. They should be.
They should be. But why should telecommunications companies be afraid of Marjorie Greene? Well, she is threatening to shut down some of the largest corporations in the country, in the world, if they cooperate with the commission that's looking into January 6th. And you might say, well, who cares what she says? She's just a crazy. Well, yes, you're right, but it's not just her, as we'll get to. But what is this really about? The Select Committee this week sent letters to 35 companies asking them to preserve a number of records, including communications giants such as Google and Microsoft and all major cell phone carriers. These are the companies she's talking about shutting down. They also included requests to encrypted messaging app Signal, right-leaning social media networks such as Parler, and more fringe websites such as 4chan and Gab. So if they comply with this commission, she is saying the Republicans will shut them down. Let's give a little bit more of her threat in this video.
And these cell phone companies, these telecommunications companies, they better not play with these Democrats, because Republicans are coming back into the majority in 2022, and we will take this very serious.
So, JR, if they comply, and if it's against the law, if they're being asked to do something illegal, then obviously they don't need to comply, nor will they. But assuming that what they're being asked to do is within the law, she is saying, and we'll get to others, saying if they comply with legal requests for oversight into criminal behavior, we will shut them down once we take power again. What do you think about
that? It's weird. It's this preemptive warnings against companies about what they can and can't do based off requests from members of Congress that are conducting an investigation. So previous to them doing anything, there's threats being tossed out there about their livelihood, their existence, based off of what, I don't know, and also, how are you gonna shut them down? What is you gonna do? Where are they gonna go? What about all the users that haven't had their user information been requested? What happens to them? None of these things have been thought out. And the reason that none of these things have been thought out is because these are empty threats. These are threats looking to rile up supporters. You notice at the end of that whole little clip, she talks about how we're gonna win in 22, and then we're really gonna do something. It all comes back to that. It's a 2022 campaign promise. It's a 2022 push and agenda, and something that they wish they can get someone their people riled up to vote for, based off of now something else that has nothing to do with them helping their citizens, nothing to do with helping their constituents. It's all it is just, hey, let's rile them up one more time and say that we're gonna get rid of those telecommunication companies, and then the knee jerk reactions will then go, yeah, vote for her because she's gonna get rid of those telecommunication companies like T-Mobile in my phone right now. That's your phone, bro. That's yours. Yeah. But they know that the thought process doesn't go beyond the first sentence, so they can just push this. Now, if there was something illegal, as you said, about these requests, which when I first read it, I was like, man, this is gonna provide for a very easy slippery slope argument from the opposition to this. Be like, they're gonna take everyone's information. Information is gonna be swirling around free anytime a politician wants it. They can have that argument, and you can also sue. You can also try and interrupt this process and keep them from doing it. Mm-hmm. That's what you would do as a politician, going the legal route. Instead, you're gonna go on TV and you're gonna write a statements to point out how much you're gonna end them. No, that's a promotional thing right there. That's a flyer. That's not any kind of way of a politician working.
I agree with you. She certainly hasn't thought this out. And look, as is being pointed out in the chat, like threatening to cancel all of these companies for complying with the thing seems like a weird thing for the right to do. All of a sudden they're against surveillance. Well, that's good. I hope that you maintain that position going forward. Again, this is about particular individuals who might have coordinated with those who committed these acts. The only fact check I'll do on you is you said that she's not serving her constituents. I have a feeling she had at least a few that probably attacked the Capitol on the 6th. But let's also point out, by the way, that Marjorie Greene, who's being interviewed by a major host, is saying they shouldn't comply, they shouldn't give the records. She is potentially implicated in this criminal behavior. Were there any questions about that from Tucker Carlson, about who she was communicating with? Of course not, of course not. But anyway, as I alluded to, this is not just Marjorie Greene who is doing this. Kevin McCarthy, leader of the Republicans in the House, said if these companies comply with the Democrat order to turn over private information, they are in violation of federal law and subject to losing their ability to operate in the United States. If companies still choose to violate federal law, A Republican majority will not forget and will stand with Americans to hold them fully accountable under the law.
What does that mean?
Now they asked him, I'm shutting down, they can't operate. But he was asked which law they were going to be breaking, and he did not cite a law.
Yeah,
he didn't say any particular law.
Bro, that's why I said it. It means nothing. There's nothing to it. And you know, again, what was at the end of that other statement? When the Republicans get the majority, we will do this, we will do that. It's a campaign. It's a campaign stop. This is a campaign event. Go on, put out a statement, go on TV and say you're going to shut him down. This is not based in any kind of reality. It's not based in anything they say they can and will do because they may have said so. And if you can do something, do it. There's legal avenues you can go down. They don't want to talk about that because that'll be something that doesn't rile up their stupid base. Their stupid base has to think further than just one statement. So that's where they are.
Exactly. Yeah, and look, again, maybe it's just baseless. Maybe it won't affect any of these companies. But it is, it's look, and by the way, Kevin McCarthy is not that much more serious of an individual or political actor than Marjorie Greene, but he is Republican leadership. So you have Marjorie Greene go on Fox News to say the crazy thing she has to say, and it is basically indistinguishable from what the leadership of the Republicans in the House are saying. 100%. So supposedly on some things, there's like this divide between them. This seems like a pretty substantive one. Neither of them wants any answers about what happened on the 6th. Because there's still the chance that more is going to happen. We were just showing the video of Madison Cawthorn yesterday, effectively saying we have plans to call you back to DC again. Like we are trying to avoid another January 6th. When I say we, I mean some people, not these people, obviously. Okay. Move on to one more topic. Yeah. Man, this hour is passing by fast. Jeez. Okay. We're gonna do one more topic. What does Ron Johnson really think happened in the November election last year? Well, we have a bit of undercover video being provided by a progressive journalist, Lauren Windsor, who, by the way, like doesn't get enough credit for the amazing work that she so constantly does. Like she, like very often I find stories and don't even realize, oh wait, that was Lauren Windsor that just did that. Well, she got this video. So here is a bit of her speaking with the senator.
You know that Joe Biden didn't win this election. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I just. Yeah.
So
he didn't win.
Do you know the?
Do you think that Joe Biden won?
In Wisconsin, do you know the vote totals?
I don't. No.
So without knowing the vote totals, you can't even state that opinion.
I just really need all the small chatter.
So let me give you the vote totals.
I know that there was a late night dump in Milwaukee, a vote dump. But I don't remember exactly what the numbers were.
Well, we've done a recount in Milwaukee. Prior to this election, I was the number one vote getter statewide, just under 1.5 million votes. Okay. This election, Trump got 1,610,000. No Republican ever cracked 1.5 million.
But he said no.
Numerous Democrats have gone over 1.6 or 1.5. So now for the first time in history, we have a presidential candidate beating my vote total by 130,000 votes. Collectively, the state assembly candidates and the Republican state assembly candidates got 1,661,000. The 8 congressional candidates also got 1,661,000. So we obviously counted enough Republican votes. The only reason Trump lost Wisconsin is 51,000 Republican voters didn't vote for him. They voted for other Republican candidates.
So you're telling me that Joe Biden won the state fair and square? Because I don't see it. I don't believe it.
Look at the totals. It's certainly plausible. There's nothing obviously skewed about the results. There isn't.
There's nothing skewed about the results
in Wisconsin. Now, I'm not saying what's happening in Fairfield County. I don't know what's saying. Look at the numbers again. Collectively.
Come on, Wisconsin and Georgia and Arizona.
Listen, you're not listening.
I am listening.
So listen, collectively, Republicans got 1.661 million votes. 51,000 more votes than Trump got. Trump lost by 20,000. And Trump got all the Republicans voted for Trump the way they voted for the assembly candidates. He would have won. He didn't get 51,000 votes that other Republicans got. That's why he lost.
So look, there obviously Lauren Windsor is sort of posing as a MAGA person with the red hat, and I just don't see it. I don't all those states Anyway, no, she, like, by the way, so she's the host of The Undercurrent. You can go to undercurrent.tv. Her social media, she's gonna have more commentary about this and everything. She does great work. So there, like, she gets him to defend with actual numbers the fact that they did not undercount Donald Trump. It was consistent not only with other Republican candidates, but it was higher than the vote totals in past elections. The thing is, like, just say this publicly. Like, you know, he was reached for comment by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he said it is consistent with what I've been saying publicly on the 2020 election, no need for hidden cameras. But the thing is, he's previously said in Wisconsin, there were many election procedures that did not conform with state election law and a number of issues, balloting in the park, Mark Zuckerberg's donations affecting local control of vote counting, late central ballot counting on absentee ballots that should be addressed. Okay, but then in public, you're still trying to make people suspicious. You're pointing out all of these things that at the end of the day, you admit didn't change the result, didn't result in an undercount. Well, then why are you trying to make people think that we desperately need some sort of change to election law in your state?
He held that hearing that was talking about the Homeland Security and the government affairs and just bringing up Trump's election lies and all that stuff. He's promoted this lie over and over and over again and trying to work his way to do this. Now, the specifics that he laid down, like, exhaustively to Lauren as she was playing that role, shows how well he knows the opposite reality. It shows just how detailed he knows what happened and how it happened, because he looked into it and he knows. But what he won't say is this out loud. Why? Why won't he say it out loud? Because that's not politically expedient. They care about their politics more than the reality of the country. This gets proven over and over and over again. Also, by the way, they're pushing this, all these audits of their states. The committee that he's a part of approved that, what is a $680,000 budget for an official probe into some of these states' 2020 election results. Whose money is that? $680,000 for probes into these election results when the guy who's part of approving it knows it's BS. Yeah. He knows it. He doesn't care about the money. We're talking about these frugal Republicans. They're conservatives, but the tax and spend Democrats just don't do all this money. They're wasting our money away. $680,000 for an obvious lie that he says is a lie to someone who's telling him that same line of attack. He was exhausted by how stupid she was being like any other MAGA. He's like, "You're not listening to me. You're not listening to me."
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Apparently,
you're tired of people lying, huh? Only in private, but not in public. You're embracing them when it's public.
Yeah, yeah. And as we said before, she's playing a character there, like it was necessary to get the information. I couldn't do it.
She's great.
Yeah. A lot of money being spent on that. Think about how many bounties they could pay for with that. Ugh. But anyway, look, so obviously we're critical of him. But look, to the extent that he'll admit that the election wasn't stolen, I understand that when this video came out, a lot of people's response, like, you know, libs, their response was, aha, let's make it go viral and hurt him. But like, okay, obviously we have issues with a number of the things he said and done, but the fundamental willingness to accept that it was actually fair, like, I want that to go viral because maybe it'll convince people, not just to hurt him. Like, I care more about people respecting and caring about democracy than Ron Johnson. I think few people really care about Ron Johnson.
Oh no, so anyway, they'll just turn on him. There's no way they'll change their minds. No,
probably.
He's been bought by Biden is what'll happen.
Yeah. Anyway, we have less than a minute. I'm gonna read one or two quick super chats with the time we have remaining. Angie says, "My body, my choice. When it comes to wearing a mask or getting a vaccine, it's all about personal freedom, but not for women. Shame on everyone involved." Talking about what's going on in Texas, obviously. Nana says, "We were Orwellian to require masks, vaccines, and quarantine, but they'll pay a snitch for info leading to the capture of a person involved in abortion." Exactly. And think about how many false accusations, how many baseless accusations are gonna drag people into court for absolute nonsense. And that is by design again. Anyway, we'll read more in a bit. That's all the time we have for our first hour. So for our linear audience, thank you so much for watching. If you're watching on YouTube or on Twitch, we do have a lot more news coming, including an even darker turn to the weatherman being accosted while covering a hurricane. We got that and more after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.